Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 9. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This is the text. We are drawing to the close of the Epiphany season. This is the last time that we will rejoice with Alleluias until Easter. On Ash Wednesday, our focus is going to change. Now, these past weeks, we have seen Jesus manifest his divine power at the wedding feast at Cana, turning water into wine. We've seen Jesus cast out demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. We witness the baptism of our Lord, where God the Father also spoke and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Throughout this season, in our gospel lessons, we have been witnesses to miraculous and powerful events where Jesus gives us little glimpses of his divine majesty. But the fullness of his glory was hidden. As we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, we ponder the glory that God has. But his real glory is not revealed in the way that you might think as we consider the events of that day. Luke tells us about this one time when Jesus did not so greatly suppress his divine strength. And there on the mountain, we see the overwhelming power of Jesus' divine nature. Luke tells us that the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. What a sight that must have been to witness a little bit of heaven on earth. But that's not where his real glory is revealed that day. The true glory of God does not manifest itself until Jesus begins speaking with Moses and Elijah. The glory is not in the bright lights or the dazzling whiteness of his clothes. God's glory is revealed when Moses and Elijah speak about what he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They speak of his departure. The Greek word there is exodus. See, you know Greek and you didn't even realize it. Our Lord, once again, is going to rescue his people with an exodus. And he is going to rescue his people in spectacular fashion, bringing the Israelites out of Egypt is nothing compared to what he is about to do. The 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, bread from heaven. These are all just precursors to the salvation and the glory that God will show his people when the promised Messiah arrives and fulfills all things. Those miracles in the days of Moses, they didn't do much to create deep and abiding faith in the people who witnessed them. Miracles, witnessing the spectacular, that doesn't create faith. As St. Paul says, faith comes by hearing. When our Lord promised deliverance to the Israelites back in Egypt, he spoke through Moses. And he said to Moses, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. They were to have faith in his words. The glory of God would be seen in the Exodus. No one could deny that those miracles happened. Yet the miracles didn't change their hearts. Look at the history of the Israelites. Look at what happened before the Red Sea, after the Red Sea, for 40 years out in the wilderness. Miracles don't change hearts. What Moses did was great, as Scripture attests. But as we heard in our epistle reading, what Christ did was even greater. When Christ came to establish the new and better covenant, he promised to redeem the world with two outstretched arms and with great acts of mercy. The glory of God is best seen in the passion of Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, though, it is through the mouth of Moses that God's will for his people is revealed. Moses and the prophets testify as to who Jesus is. How many times do we hear in the Gospels that Jesus says to the Pharisees and other critics, "If you believed Moses and the prophets, you would believe me, for they testify of me." Faith comes by hearing. Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and the prophet Elijah testify of Jesus. And they testify as to what he came to do. Moses and the prophets still testify of Jesus and what he came to do. Our Mount of Transfiguration is right here in our worship. God speaks to us in his word through Moses and the prophets and the evangelists. We have the physical presence of Christ revealed to us under the form of bread and wine. Hearing God's word and receiving his body and blood in the sacrament is as close as we can get to heaven here on earth. It is good that we are here. And we don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. However, we can be certain, like Moses and Elijah, we will be in bodily form as they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We will commune with Christ, join in the heavenly conversation. Heaven will certainly not be a boring place. And there's a reason that when Peter caught just a glimpse of the glory of God, he said, "It is good that we are here. Let's make three tents." Peter didn't want to leave. But the real glory of heaven is in the sacrifice that Christ made. Read John's Revelation. Where do we see Jesus? He is still the Lamb on the throne. The multitude of saints have come out of the great tribulation and have done what? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's what's revealed to John as the heavenly things are revealed to him. Peter desired to bask in the glory of God. Well, to truly linger in God's glory, making tents up on the mountain would be of no use. They had to come down that mountain. The real glory, the glory of which Moses and Elijah spoke, that would be accomplished in Jerusalem. There was another exodus to come. God was going to redeem his people with outstretched arms. And this time, the miracles would create deep and abiding faith in the people of God. Now, throughout this Epiphany season, we have witnessed some of the miracles of Jesus. The Word of God is full of accounts of Jesus performing miraculous events. But you and I, we get to participate in even better miracles performed right here. It is here where miracles truly create faith. Faith without doubt. Baptism washed you clean on the inside and opened the gates of heaven for you. You cannot doubt that you were baptized. The water was real. The Word of God was spoken. The only way to say, oh, my baptism didn't work, is to say that God is doing nothing over there. That God is doing nothing in you. The broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, is an opportunity to participate in the miraculous. I cannot doubt that the bread and the wine enter into me because I see it and I taste it. The only way that I can doubt that this miracle takes place, that I get to eat the body and drink the blood of Christ, is to say that, oh, God isn't really doing anything up here. It's only bread. It's only wine. Move along, nothing to see. We get to participate in the miraculous and in events that do create deep and abiding faith. And as we gather, the glory surrounding the saints in heaven who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, we find comfort in knowing that our loved ones who have died in the faith, they are sharing in that glory as we speak with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. They are glorifying and praising God's name with us as we gather in the presence of Christ our Lord. There is no reason to doubt this. God is still performing miraculous signs in and among His people, as He always has. It's just that, as was promised in Scripture, what Christ brings to His people is better than what Moses brought. And we will join with Moses and Elijah and all the company of heaven in that eternal glory, either when we die in the faith of our baptism or when Christ returns, whichever comes first. And until that happens, we continue to gather together as the people of God and receive a little glimpse of heaven here on earth in God's Word, in the absolution, certainly in the body and blood of our Lord. Here this morning, we are privileged to have a little bit of heaven on earth. And it is right that we echo Peter's words and say, it is good that we are here. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.